Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
We've been tracking the results of the U.S. presidential election, certainly a momentous occasion for Americans. But we have to ask the question, what does it actually mean for the rest of us, particularly here in Singapore and the rest of ASEAN?
Let's take a look back at the past couple of years, right? During the Trump administration, we've seen more of a disengaged approach to the region, with President Trump failing to attend ASEAN meetings. And Southeast Asian economies have been affected much more by these knock-on effects of the Trump administration trade and investment actions that were taken against targets like China.
Even so, there is a growing consensus in Southeast Asia that U.S.-China and South China Sea tensions and the impact of the trade war will not go away if either President Trump is re-elected or Joe Biden wins the White House.
Okay, here in Singapore, we've got the U.S. seen as a valuable trading partner. It's our fifth largest export and import partner, with bilateral trade worth nearly $43 billion annually. But a survey by Singapore's ISIS Yusuf Ishak Institute in January found that 60% of respondents believe the U.S. would be a better strategic partner if there were a change of leadership.
So joining us on the line to help us understand the importance of the U.S. elections here in Singapore and the region is Professor Joseph Chin Yong Liu. He's the Dean of the College of Humanities, Arts and Social Sciences at Nanyang Technological University. A very good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, good morning.
All right, Prof, let's start off with what's top of ASEAN's wish list for the future of U.S. policy towards this part of the world.
I think the first thing will be the hope that if we have a new administration, that it would be more engaged in the region in terms of its attendance at the major regional summits and meetings, as well as the deployment of senior officials to the region for various initiatives. And of course, diplomatic posts. As you know, Singapore hasn't had a U.S. ambassador for a few years, and we are certainly looking forward to having one.
Yeah, in fact, we've seen Democratic nominee Joe Biden. He seems to be getting closer to the 270 Electoral College votes, but it's still too close to call. I guess the question is, what does it look like for that relationship between the U.S. and Singapore, depending on whether it's a Republican or a Democrat in the White House? Can you walk us through the two scenarios?
Well, I think in the larger scheme of things, there will not be significant change in the sense that, number one, Singapore leaders and Singapore in general has been, we're familiar with both Republican and Democratic administrations. We will, of course, have to work with both. Second, I suppose in the case of a Biden administration, the expectation is that it's likely to return to the more traditional forms of diplomacy and engagement. And this is something that, on Singapore's part, we would, of course, also welcome. And we will also continue playing our role, not just in terms of facilitating bilateral relations, but more importantly, also encouraging a wider engagement of Southeast Asia. I think this is a role that Singapore has tried to play as well.
Prof, I'm curious about the situation in China. I mean, knock-on effects aside, no matter what, we'll be affected by whatever happens, right? But how does a new presidential administration approach the current spat with China? I mean, some damage has already been done, and there is an issue of pride as well. I know I'm speculating, but you can't go into the room and say, oh yeah, that was that president, don't worry, let's go back to normal.
Can they
do that?
They won't do that. that I think, is pretty sure.
Yeah.
I think both sides have really topped up the competition and the rivalry with China, right? The kind of challenges that China poses to America and presumably to the world. So there's no likelihood, I think, of any administration stepping back from that kind of talk anytime soon. So if we have a Biden administration, it's quite likely that they're going to continue that tempo, with regards to China policy that has already been set by the Trump administration. Where we will see differences is how they actually go about addressing the challenges that they have articulated that they share with the Trump administration. I think the sense is that Biden is going to be a bit more multilateral in terms of how they will approach China, and I think the Europeans will be the first to come on board on that. Secondly, I think the hope is also that even as they pursue this competitive relationship, perhaps even conflictual relationship, that there will be also some effort to find avenues of cooperation. So walk and chew gum, as the Americans like to say. That's something that the new administration will have to do.
Okay, Prof. In a moment, we're going to look at ASEAN more widely. But first, let's look at a narrow focus of Singapore. The US is Singapore's fifth largest export and import partner, bilateral trade worth nearly $43 billion annually. I guess we're looking at outcomes and whether or not that could change. But also, in terms of the economy, we know that Donald Trump, for example, is very anti-multilateralism. And this is something that is so important to Singapore. So again, let's just look at trade within the context of the possible outcomes.
Yeah. Well, I think there is one area where there is some difference between Singapore's position on global trade and the Trump administration's position on global trade, right? I mean, we are very much in favor of a very globalized, very international, very multilateral trading system. Of course, the system itself needs to be tweaked in many ways, but we certainly have no intentions of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. The Trump administration, on the other hand, has adopted a more transactional approach, and they're not particularly keen on multilateral approaches, and that we've come to understand and come to adapt to as well. But trade is just one element of the bilateral relationship. We mustn't forget that investment is another major factor, and here, American investment in Singapore and in the region through Singapore have been very significant and very robust, even through the Trump years. Another important aspect is the kind of social, cultural exchanges, university exchanges, for example. I'm from a university, and the level of interaction and cooperation on research and development, especially in the age of the fourth industrial revolution, that is going to be a very important aspect of bilateral relations as well.
We are on the line this morning with Professor Joseph Chin Yong Liao. He's the Dean of College of Humanities, Arts and Social Sciences at Nanyang Technological University. We're putting a focus on the effects of ASEAN with regard to the presidential election. Something that comes to mind is TPP, Prof. Didn't go so well under the Trump administration. His predecessor, Barack Obama, talked about how it's important to have good ties here in ASEAN. Yeah. Joe Biden, close to Barack Obama. What kind of repair work does Mr. Biden have to do should he win office?
I think first and foremost, we talk about repair work, but I don't think that the relationship was as severely damaged as your comment would suggest.
Sure.
mind you, Hillary Clinton, if she had come into office in 2016, the indications were that she would not have signed the TPP either, or at least she would not have signed it in the form that, ironically, she had negotiated when she was in the Obama administration. Yeah, but having said that, there is a desire in Southeast Asia for the U.S. to return to efforts to integrate itself closer to the regional trade environment, and in fact, to play a leadership role. Now, whether or not the CPTPP, the sort of reconfigurated TPP, whether that will be the platform for such an engagement, I'm not too sure, but I doubt it. I think there's too much political baggage there. But at the same time, the question is whether a Biden administration will be able to at least initiate some discussion and some thinking about what alternative spaces the U.S. can create in order to facilitate a deepening of regional integration on matters of trade. Yeah, I think that's something to look out for.
Yeah, I wondered about that. So let's just push this forward. Obviously, everything hangs in the balance right now. But in your opinion, who will make a better choice for Southeast Asia?
Well, I think that there have been pros and cons, to be absolutely honest, with the Trump administration. And there will be pros and cons with the Biden administration, right? On the one hand, I expect the Biden administration to be far more deeply engaged in Southeast Asia. So that's obviously a plus. But on the other hand, it's in the DNA of Democrat administrations to play up issues like human rights, regardless of the fact that history has shown that pushing that line gets very little traction for the U.S. in our region. Yeah, but I perfectly understand why the Americans need to do it, but hopefully they will understand why they don't get much traction in the region if they do.
Yeah, we're still some ways from getting a result. And at the end of the day, we're also hoping that everything goes safe, no riots, no violence.
Yeah.
We've been speaking with Professor Joseph Chin-Yong Liao, Dean of College of Humanities, Arts and Social Sciences at Nanyang Technological University. Prof, thank you so much for your time this morning. You take care and stay safe. Yeah.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.